Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. I will not reread it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus tells us of John the Baptist, "Truly I say to you, among those born of woman, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." At first glance, this may sound like a strange statement coming from Jesus, seeing that he too was born of woman. As Mark knows that the one greater than John has come. In fact, he is the one whose sandals John has already confessed, and whose sandals neither you or John and I are worthy to stoop down and untie. But Jesus' point is of those born of natural causes. None is greater than John, and yet those born of water and word, those born of the Spirit, those who will be least in the kingdom of heaven, are greater than him. This great man John's task was really, well, simple and hard at the same time. It was simple because it was one task. It was hard because the task that it was. He was to take his prophetic finger and point the entire world to one person. To Jesus. To point them to, as he called him, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then his job was to get out of the way. John, like us, you see, must decrease that Jesus may increase. So John goes off to prison as our text starts. And Jesus goes up to Galilee. The place where the prophet Isaiah had said the Messiah's light would dawn first. Galilee is a border country between the Israelites and the Gentiles. And this Messiah, you see, comes for all people, Jew and Gentile, male and female, young and old. He who created all people comes to redeem all people, and for this we have peace today. For this reign of God in Christ must be proclaimed, as Jesus himself is now the preacher, whether he preaches it in person or through his holy office of the ministry. That's why God has the church in the world. Why Pilgrim as a congregation exists. And our anniversary is today, I believe, the founding of Pilgrim Lutheran Church. It turns 64 years old. And why the office of the holy ministry exists. That is to proclaim the word of God, calling all sinners to repentance and saving faith in God's only begotten Son. Listen to Jesus. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom is no longer near, as John had proclaimed, but rather it is now at hand in the person of Jesus Christ. And Luther comments on this verse this way. Once we have his word and true doctrine and true worship, we also then pray that his kingdom may be in us and remain in us. That is, that he may govern us in his doctrine and life, that he may protect and preserve us against all the powers of the devil and his kingdom, and that he may shatter all the kingdoms that rage against his kingdom so that it alone may remain. And our text is a perfect illustration of this. Simply by paying attention to Jesus, look at the text. He's walking along the shore and he sees Simon and Andrew. They're casting their nets. And Jesus simply says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately, and I love that Mark does that. If you've read Mark's gospel, you know that that's Mark's favorite word, immediately. Everything happens immediately for Mark. And immediately, they left their nets and they followed him. Then he does the same with James, the son of Zebedee, and John. Jesus is not sitting around waiting for our permission. Jesus finds them while they are still busy doing the boring and mundane details of their own livelihood, mending nets, casting, not meditating on some mountaintop or engaging in some spiritual ritual or exercise at or involved in what the newest rabbi's teachings were that were promoted by Oprah that day, but rather engaging in some, rather at work, just as they were when Matthew was at work as a tax collector in his office, and Jesus called him to follow him as well. This is why, you see, we can confess so clearly in our explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot of my own reason or strength believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or come to Him, but that the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. And in the same way He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. And on the last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. And we as Lutherans respond, this is most certainly true. You see, Jesus isn't waiting to be invited by us. He instead is coming to us through His word and His gifts, His sacraments. So He says, follow me. And like the words repent and believe, these are God's words. They're powerful words. Words spoken by Jesus, and they do what they say. He looks at fishermen, and when fishermen Peter, James, John, and Andrew hear the words, follow me, from the lips of Jesus, they do just that. They left everything, their nets, their boats, their fathers, their mothers, their businesses, and their entire lives to follow Jesus, not even knowing where He was going, especially not assuming He was heading to a cross. You see, when Jesus calls a person to follow Him, He's calling that person to die with Him and to rise with Him, to live each day in His death and resurrection. Thanks be to God, He wants to make His death our death and His life our life. He won't settle for just a piece of you. There's no such thing as a tenth or a 90th of a percent of a disciple. He wants you all. Every last piece. Sure, there have always been plenty who would be followers of Jesus. Those who would hear the invitation to follow Him, but went the opposite way for some other reason. There's the rich young man to whom Jesus said, sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and follow me. But his wealth got in his way. There was the man who first had to bury his father, and another wanted to say goodbye to his family. And then there was those who had first followed Jesus, but could no longer bear his teachings because they had become too hard. And while all these might seem very important to us, family and money and friends or whatever else, they might seem very important to us, they are nothing apart from Jesus. If they get in the way of following Him, they have to go. Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This is not a call to break the fourth commandment, but it is a call to remember the first commandment. Without Christ, we have nothing, though we possess the world. And with Christ, we have everything, even though we possess nothing in this world. So we all must become students, disciples. Because before we can be doers of God's word, we must first be hearers of God's word. Before we can be followers of Jesus, we must first hear Jesus. Before we can be fishers of men, we must first be fish caught in His net, in Jesus' very death and resurrection. His word must have its way with us. When Jesus speaks, things happen. Demons flee. Diseases are healed. The paralyzed walk. The blind see. The deaf hear. The dead live. And fishermen follow. And even today you heard as Jesus spoke through His called worker, Pastor Rafa, your sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. This is the word of Jesus, and it does it all. So He says, repent and believe the gospel. Repentance and faith is what it means to follow Jesus. These aren't one-time words, but rather continual action words. It is not as if I repent once, you believe once, and you then do whatever you feel like doing. The word repent, metanoiatet in the text, or metanoia, that is to continually and continually believe, continually repent and continually believe in the gospel. That's how you and I follow Jesus daily, dying to our sins and rising to new life, which is then living in your baptism. Repentance and faith are not things that we do, but rather things that are done to us. God works them in and through His Word, and His Spirit working through His Word. Remember, the Word does what it says. In the beginning, God says, let there be light, and there's light. Let there be sea and dry land, and so it is. And so do words like repent. When we hear them, stubborn, stony hearts of sinners like ourselves are turned to repentance. And the Word says, believe, and the unbelieving heart trusts the good news of Jesus Christ. Repentance is turning from sin to righteousness, from self to Christ, from death to life, to be turned inside out, if you will. Our natural tendency is to be self-absorbed, narcissistic, turned inward, the Latin there, incurvatus in se. We can thank Adam and Eve for bringing us this curse of self-awareness. It's kind of interesting, with this kind of self-awareness comes a level of stupidity. I mean, look at them in the garden. They're in the garden. They broke the law. They sinned against God. They ate the fruit of the tree that they were forbidden to eat. And that sin brings to them a level of self-awareness. We're now naked. But that self-awareness came with an extra gift. They now thought they were smarter than everybody in the room. So when God comes to them, they acknowledge His presence by saying, we were afraid, and rightly so, they should have been. But then they had to let God know that they were naked, as if God was not aware of their state of clothing. It's amazing how stupid sin can make us, where we think we're the only ones that ever thought of that thing. And so we're called to repentance. And through repentance and faith, God turns us inside out with His words. He turns us towards Himself and towards those around us, our neighbors. To repent means to be turned. And once then you thought of yourself as a sinner, condemned to die and go to hell. And now you can think of yourself differently, a saint, an heir of the kingdom of heaven. Once you thought of God as your judge, now you can think of Him as your Savior and your Redeemer. To repent means to become nothing, so that in Jesus, Jesus becomes everything. To become a total sinner, so that Jesus can be complete and total Savior from your sin. I know that repentance is not a pleasant thing. There will be sorrow over sin and terror of God's wrath and grief over death. We aren't going to feel good about ourselves when Jesus' word repent works its repentance in us. The old Adam, you see, hates to die. He gets mad at the preacher. He tunes him out. He will shut the Bible tight, claiming it to be a confusing book. He will avoid church for any excuse, and he will deny God if necessary. And who can blame him if the law of God is the final word that God has for us? But repentance is not God's last work. God kills, but He makes alive. He brings down to death, but He also raises the dead. Jesus says, repent, and He also says, believe the gospel. That word too must have its way with us. And that good word of the gospel is so refreshing. As Jesus told Martha and Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live. And those words are for us as well. See, when you have faith in Jesus, Everything he has is now yours. His perfect life is your life. His perfect death is your death. His resurrection, your resurrection. His ascension and glory are yours. His kingdom and reign as forgiveness over all that condemns you is yours. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus delivers all this to you with his simple imperatives. Believe. Believe in the gospel, the good news that the kingdom of God has come, and it has come for you in the person and works of Jesus, his very flesh. For the time was fulfilled. It is fulfilled here and now. The kingdom of God is at hand, here and now, for us. Repent and be turned from your sins and believe the gospel. Trust in the crucified, risen, and reigning Jesus for you and for your salvation. Be baptized in his name. Be forgiven in his name. Receive his very body and blood. Follow him, dying and rising daily, and he will give you life and an eternal. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.